each meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Hi everybody, and welcome. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
And Merry Christmas. We're still in the Christmas season, so... Let's waste no time. We're going to pray the Angelus and the one decade of the chaplet. And then today is a feast of St. Elizabeth Bailey Seton, the first Native American to be canonized a saint. And then, of course, if we get a chance, I really want to share her story because it really is quite beautiful. And then it's going to be test time for the two of you since
I already failed.
We're in the 12 days of Christmas.
Oh, no.
I got my ace in the hole right
here. So I'm hoping to get into that.
It's been a while for me, Father.
We'll see. We'll see how well you do, okay? But let's do pray. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it done unto me according to thy word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Pray for us, O Holy Mother of God, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. Let us pray. Pour forth, we beseech you, Lord, thy grace into our hearts, that we to whom the incarnation of Christ thy Son was made known by the message of an angel, may by his passion and cross be brought to the glory of his resurrection through the same Christ our Lord. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world, for the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God,
Holy Mighty One,
Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Jesus,
I trust in you.
Jesus, I trust in you.
Jesus, I trust in you.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless, and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us, increase your mercy in us, that in difficult moments we might not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. O Mary conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Michael, the Archangel,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Okay, yeah, so happy New Year. And you guys had a nice New Year. We had midnight. Well, you were here, Tony, yeah, right, for midnight mass. It was beautiful, wasn't it?
It was.
Really, really
It was
nice.
Back down to not a lot of people. I like
Yeah, that. It was a we had a it, we had a nice little turnout, but yeah, it was very it's a very contemplative, yeah, very quiet, just a very prayerful group of people. And did you notice, which was strange, it's the first year, unless did you hear this? I heard no fireworks.
No, you're right. I didn't.
There were fireworks.
There were?
I heard them too far from here, but
paying attention.
Yeah, normally we hear them all through the mass, and you know, this year I didn't hear anything.
Yeah, that's true. It was really
It was quiet.
Really nice.
Yeah. Well, that's good. But yeah, they were.
It's beautiful.
They were throwing the fireworks.
It was so
it's
nice.
Been since last year. We haven't seen each other in the radio.
That's right.
See, that always scares me because I don't know if it's fireworks or just gunshots.
These days, it's crazy. So the altar boys, you know, that we had the three, two Julians and Victor, and all high school students. So they were there for the midnight mass. Did a great job. They're just wholesome, good kids, and then they were coming back for the 7 o'clock mass. So after the mass, then they have their own little parlor where they keep their stuff,
their
stuff. And it's right off my office. And so after I was divested and all that, they were in there, and they had, you know, the glasses and champagne.
That's
nice. And
how old are they?
14, 15.
Oh, okay.
And so I said, you guys, and they said,
non-alcoholic. Okay.
So they were being like men, had four glasses. I said, well, I don't drink.
Okay? Right. Sorry, I don't.
No champagne for me. But I said, you guys got to have your champagne, your non-alcoholic champagne, and you got to get home because you got to be back here by 7 o'clock. And so they were just really funny. So they left, and they all went to Julian's house. He said the next day he never slept because he gave Victor and the other Julian his room. And then he said he stayed in the kitchen, but he said he stayed up all night, and then they were back at 7 o'clock. And
no wonder.
That is awesome.
When I saw him at the 10, he was there, but he wasn't there.
He was tired.
He was exhausted. I said, are you okay? He's like, I'm just tired.
Well, I have to tell you what happened at the
At the
7 o'clock mass in the morning. So they came back that for that 7 o'clock mass, and at the consecration, I heard this great big bang because Victor was playing. Or was it the 7 o'clock? I'm confused. Was that Christmas morning?
It was Christmas morning.
Christmas morning.
Yes,
it was Christmas morning. So 7 o'clock. So Victor was playing the organ, and Julian was singing. So they serve, and they also sometimes they serve. Anyway, so Victor's a great organist, and he's got a great voice, and Julian was singing. So they were on we've got a double balcony, so they were, the organ is on the top balcony. So at the consecration, I heard this great big bang, this huge bang, and I looked up. It came from the top balcony, and all of a sudden I saw all this music that.
The papers
coming down into the second balcony. So I thought, oh my gosh, what happened? Did somebody fall over the top balcony? You know, and then of course we have the Mysterium Fidei, and then Julian responded. Victor did not, And so what happened was he was kneeling during the consecration, and he fainted. And when he fainted, he knocked the music over, and I just saw it all come down to the second balcony. So
thank
it was crazy.
God the other boys were. Somebody was up there with him, that he wasn't right, alone.
Exactly, right. Yeah.
Is he okay? I
mean, yeah, he's fine. He's fine. Because then he was back to playing.
It's like nothing. It's like butter.
I like butter. I said, did you have anything to eat or whatever this morning? He said, no. But they're great kids, and they train the little guys so well too. They're like little soldiers, you know. So we call them the knights of the altar. That's nice. What we were called when I was an altar boy.
I also like when Julian reads.
He's a great reader.
It seems like he's spread all over, but he's a good reader.
He does multitask.
He does.
He's a great guy. We have a lot of great people here. Even Christina and Tony.
You're a really good reader.
I'm not as good as you. You're just the best.
No, I'm not.
You're better.
Oh, you both are good.
Yeah. Thank you.
I'm just saying good.
He said only good.
Only good.
I always say, you know,
the only perfect one is God.
Right. I always tell it when we have when somebody's reading for the first time, and you know, they're always nervous, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I said, you know, very seriously, I said, I listen. I said, we want perfection in reading as lector, and so you can see they kind of recoil because it's like I'm nervous as it is. Don't
it's even worse though.
I said, no, only God is perfect, so you're gonna do fine. So
we try our best.
Everybody does a good job. Yeah. We've got good readers. So
do you get nervous, Tony, when you read?
To this day, I still have to read. It. Yes,
you gotta be kidding.
You know, some people go in and just read. And
yeah,
I can't do that. I have to. I read, and still I
really
make mistakes. Yes.
I do get nervous even before the mass. If people want to talk to me, I'm talking. You know, in the sacristy,
right? Of course,
preparing.
Yeah.
I'm nervous.
There's no sign of nervousness.
And the funny thing too is, I recognize all the readings. Like even when I'm not reading, I read that one year.
No.
And that's the thing that you know. You feel
especially
it.
If it's the wrong reading. When
well, I guess I'm at that age, you know, where I mean, sometimes I do get nervous. It depends on, you know, what. Sometimes it depends on who's out there,
yeah,
mm-hmm.
and what the expectations are. You know, anyway. We're not going to go down that road, but sometimes it puts me on edge.
Yes,
but I put it in God's hands. But I do have to say, you know, that. Even though, you know, after the 10 o'clock mass, because I have to swim from one ocean into another ocean. So from English to Polish, and then from Polish back to English, English into Spanish. Mm-hmm. And so usually after the English mass at the 10 o'clock, the Polish, I mean, I go through that.
And the Polish is hard.
It's a very hard language. It's a beautiful language, but very, very hard because it's all consonants. And C, Z, C, Chenchli, Vigan, Vigoro, S, Z, C, Z, E, S with a Kreskovan, because it's an SH sound, Chenchli, L, I, W, which is a V sound, E, G, O, but Chenchli, Vigo, happy, Chenchli, Vigo, Vigoro, but Chenchli, Vigo. If you just see it, you see the word, you say, How the heck are you going to pronounce that?
Is that even possible?
How can you possibly?
Well, your last name, Father, is the shortest
is
Polish.
The Polish, the shortest name Polish name.
I've ever seen.
Bush.
Bush.
we get sidetracked.
Yeah.
But the point I was going to make is that so after the English mass, I always want to go over the Spanish before the homily before. I go to Mass, so I have usually a 45-minute window before the Mass, and inevitably I'm bombarded by people.
Oh, of course, yeah.
And I want to say, well, I got to go over this Spanish. Mm-hmm. But I'm at the point now where I can, if I don't get a chance to go over it, it's okay. It's amazing how...
Well, I have to say that you've improved on the Polish, Father. It sounds really...
How do you know? You don't even speak a Polish. You don't even speak a Polish.
Bardzo dobrze.
Nice.
Strange. I was going to say. Anyway, today's the feast of Elizabeth and Seton. I just want to share this story because it really is a fascinating story. She started the Catholic school system here in Chicago, not in Chicago, in the United States. Okay. But we're going back to the 18th century. So she was born in 1774, and she died in 1821. She was 46 when she died. But the first native-born citizen of the United States to be canonized by the Roman Catholic Church, she was canonized. Remember her canonization. It was September 14th, 1975. That was the year before I went to the seminary. And she established the first Catholic school in the nation at Emmitsburg, Maryland, where she also founded the first American Congregation of Religious Sisters, the Sisters of Charity. But her life, if I can just kind of go through and give you some of the details, if you can follow this. As I said, she was born August 20th, 1774, the second child of a socially very prominent couple, Dr. Richard Bailey and Catherine Carlton of New York City. They were among the earliest colonial settlers of New York at that time. You know, we're going. You got to keep that in mind. How far back we're going? You know, mm-hmm. Her father's parents were prominent French Huguenots. They lived in New York. He later served as the first professor of anatomy at Columbia College and chief health officer for the Port of New York. Her mother was the daughter of an Episcopal minister who served as rector of St. Andrew's Episcopal Church on Staten Island for 30 years, and she was raised, of course, an Episcopalian. Her mother, Catherine, died in 1777 when Elizabeth was only 3 years old, and probably died in as a result of childbirth. And then eventually her father remarried, and they had, I believe, five children. But the woman he married, her name was Mrs. Bailey, Amelia Bailey. Amelia Barclay, Charlotte Amelia Barclay, who is a member of the Roosevelt family. And so they had some other children, and she was very active in the Episcopal Church, and so Elizabeth, you know, joined her in social work and, you know, caring for the poor. So in any case, the marriage ended in separation, and let's see. So they were traveling back and forth to London because her father had tuberculosis. He had some health issues. He furthered his medical studies in London. So the girls lived with their paternal uncle and his wife. And then she lost, a mother the second time, and so she, Elizabeth, experienced a period of darkness during this time, and which she reflected about later in her journals. And in these journals, Elizabeth shows a very natural bent toward contemplation. She loved nature, poetry, music, especially the piano. She was fluent in French, a fine musician, and an accomplished horsewoman. She was given to introspection and frequently made entries in her journal expressing her sentiments, religious aspirations, and favorite passages from her reading. So at the age of 19, Elizabeth married William Seton. He was a wealthy businessman in the import trade, and they were married by the first Episcopalian bishop of New York. Her husband's father, William Seton, belonged to a noble Scottish family, immigrated to New York in 1758, and became superintendent and part owner of the ironworks of Ringwood, New Jersey. Okay, that's just a lot of stuff. In any case, they were going back and forth to Europe, and I just want to get down to here. So William, along with his father William and brother James, were partners in the import-export mercantile firm, the William Seton Company, which had become Seton, Maitland and Company in 1793. And so he visited important counting houses in Europe. In 1788 was a friend of Filippo Felici, who was a renowned merchant in Italy, with whom his firm was a major trading partner. With the death of his father, after the Seton family fortunes began to decline, William was tormented by visions of debtor's prison. Hmm. Anyway, they were socially prominent in New York. The Setons belonged to the fashionable Trinity Episcopal Church, located on Broadway, which I believe is right under where the Twin Towers went down. It's still there. Elizabeth was a devout Episcopalian. Reverend John Henry Hobart, who later became a bishop, was her spiritual director. In any case, she worked, you know, very much, very active in the faith and then with the poor, with the Episcopal Church. So let me just kind of jump up here. So her husband fell ill. He's one who had tuberculosis, and he fell ill, and his doctor sent him to Italy for the warmer climate with Elizabeth, and their eldest daughter went with her, and they landed at the port of Leghorn, where the authorities feared yellow fever, which was then prevalent in New York. They were held in quarantine for a month, at which time William died on December 27th, 1803, was buried in the old English cemetery in Italy. I've been to that cemetery, actually. Elizabeth and Anna Maria, were received by the families of her late husband's Italian business partners, and while staying with them, she was introduced to Roman Catholicism. After her return to the United States, she converted to the Catholic Church, into which she was received into the church on March 14th by Father Matthew O'Brien, pastor of St. Peter's Roman Catholic Church, the only church in New York City at the time. And at that point, anti-Catholic laws had been lifted just a few years before. And a year later, she received the sacrament of confirmation from the Bishop of Baltimore, the Bishop John Carroll, the only Catholic bishop in the nation. And so, in other words, so in order to support herself and her children, she's a widow, I guess, Elizabeth Seton started an academy for young ladies, as was common for widows of social standing in that period. And after news of her conversion to Catholicism spread, most of the parents withdrew their daughters from her tutelage due to the anti-Catholic sentiment of the day. She was about to move to Canada when she made the acquaintance of a visiting priest who was a member of the French immigrant community of Sulpician fathers and president of St. Mary's College. The Sulpicians had taken refuge in the United States from the religious persecution of the Reign of Terror in France and were in the process of establishing the first Catholic seminary for the United States in keeping with the goals of their society. Anyway, after struggling through some trying and difficult years in 1809, Elizabeth accepted the invitation of support the Sulpicians had made to her and moved to Emmitsburg, Maryland. A year later, she established the St. Joseph's Academy and Free School, a school dedicated to the education of Catholic girls. And this was made possible through the financial support of Samuel Sutherland Cooper, a wealthy convert and seminarian at the newly established seminary. So in any case, on July 13th, Elizabeth established a religious community in Emmitsburg dedicated to the care of children of the poor, the first congregation of religious sisters to be founded in the United States and its school was the first free Catholic school in America. So this actually marked the beginning or the start of the Catholic parochial school system in the United States. She's a foundress, the founder of the Catholic school system, parochial schools in the United States. And so she founded this religious order, and they were running orphanages and schools as far west as Cincinnati, New Orleans, and established the first hospital west of the Mississippi in St. Louis. When you think about what these women did, you know, at that time, you know, this is a point I want to drive home, is that, you know, when people say women don't have a place in the Catholic Church, what other institution ever existed where women were able to do such things? You know, and this is, we're talking down through the history of the Church, you know, but the heroism and the hard work, and she died at the age of 46, so she accomplished all of this stuff in a short period of time. Really, really interesting. I just find it fascinating. Even though the Holy Father was saying on the Feast of the Holy Mother of God that we need to recover the feminine vision, the feminine face of the Church. Well, have we ever been without the feminine face of the Church, the Mother of God, and that women need to be you know, drawn into the pastoral work of the Church? I mean, no other institution like the Catholic Church. Unfortunately, with radical feminism, many of the religious communities that were dedicated to education, to the poor, built hospitals and worked hospitals, with radical feminism, many of those communities have died or are dying because they abandon their mission, their pastoral work, you know? So it's just very strange, isn't it?
Yeah.
But anyway, we'll take a break. We'll come back, and then I just have a few quotes from Elizabeth Ann Seton that are really quite beautiful. I want to share that with you. So don't go away. We will be right back. I'm Father Anthony on Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
Sometimes it's tough to hear Winds of Change over the air. What with tall buildings, power lines, and other static. Now you can hear Winds of Change anywhere, anytime, or on any device. When Winds of Change is on the air, live, Monday through Friday, noon to 1, go to ststandschurch.org. Scroll down to the Winds of Change tile and click on the Listen Live button. For Winds of Change podcasts, click on Listen to Episodes or visit the Winds of Change Facebook page.
I'm Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and you are listening to
The Winds of Change.
Welcome to a St. Nicholas Minute. Did you know there was a time when St. Nicholas wasn't so jolly? It was in 325 AD when the bishops gathered in Nicaea for the first ecumenical council. That council was called to answer the false teachings of a priest named Arius. He wrongly taught that Jesus was not the eternal Son of God. He even sang a song with the words, "There was a time when he, Christ, was not." So when Arius repeated those lyrics to the council fathers, I got a little hot under my clerical collar, and I angrily walked up and slapped Arius right in the face. Everyone was shocked. But after regaining my composure, I rejoined the other bishops to approve the Nicene Creed, the same creed that defends the divinity of Christ to this very day. So if you think you're not the stuff saints are made of, just remember, I didn't become jolly old Saint Nick overnight. Christ is born, glorify him.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. So we're talking about St. Elizabeth Ann Seton, who is the who founded the parochial Catholic school system in the United States. Just a fascinating story. A convert from the Episcopalian. She was a very devout Episcopalian and became a Roman Catholic, and then her husband died, and she gave herself completely to God, holding nothing back, and founded, as I said, the Catholic schools and also religious order of sisters. that built orphanages and hospitals and all that. And she died at the age of 46. I mean, just a young woman. She did all that. It's just really incredible when you think about it. But some of her quotes, and I just really appreciate this because there's a realism that I think, you know, I think much of the unhappiness today is because we're not living in reality. You know, as Jesus said, you're going to have trouble in this world, but have courage, be at peace, I've conquered the world. I always think of Our Lady to Bernadette, St. Bernadette, I can't promise you happiness in this life, but only in the next. And if we can accept that reality, then, you know, we're not going to be so, we learned, as Jesus says, you know, pick up your cross and follow me and just take it a day at a time. Don't worry about tomorrow. You know, we got troubles enough for today. I'm with you today and get you through this day and I'll be with you tomorrow. And her favorite quote, by the way, her psalm from Psalm 23, the very famous Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. There is nothing I lack. In green pastures you let me graze, to safe waters you lead me, you restore my strength. You guide me along the right path for the sake of your name. Even when I walk through a dark valley, I fear no harm, for you are at my side. Your rod and staff give me courage. You set a table before me as my enemies watch. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Only goodness and love will pursue me all the days of my life. I will dwell in the house of the Lord for years to come. That was her favorite psalm. But if you just listen to her, some from her own writings, some of her own quotes, she says, acting well our part in present difficulties is the only way to ensure the peace of the future. She says, afflictions are the steps to heaven. Mm. She says, all in the hands of our God, so dear and infinitely good, that is my comfort. She writes, you know, but, O my Heavenly Father, I know that contradictory events are permitted and guided by your wisdom, which only is light. We are in darkness and must be thankful that our knowledge is not wanted or needed to perfect your work, and also keep in mind the infinite mercy which in permitting the sufferings of the perishing body has provided for our souls so large an opportunity of comfort and nourishment for our eternal life, where we shall assuredly find that all things have worked together for our good and for our sure trust in you. That is a beautiful, beautiful passage, you know, which acknowledges the reality of the sufferings of this life with a view to eternity. She says, you know, confiding hope and consoling peace have attended my way through storms and dangers that must have terrified a soul whose rock is not Christ. It's very powerful. I just find it very powerful. Yeah. Do what we can, and God will do the rest. What seems so impossible to nature is quite easy to grace. She says, faith lifts the staggering soul on one side. Hope supports it on the other. Experience says it must be, and love says let it be. She says, go to him with faith, love, and confidence. He will help. Fill yourself with his spirit, and he himself will govern. I love that. She says, I am satisfied to sow in tears if I may reap in joy. And when all the wintry storms of time are past, we shall enjoy the delights of an eternal spring. Again, that view to eternity, right? We'll weather the storms. It's part of life. I think this is what causes so much depression and so much unhappiness, is people feel like, why am I not happy? You know, but our joy is in Christ. And so we learn to bear with the sufferings of this life, and we know that life is work. I think we've lost our work ethic. You know, I think in this,
that's
certainly
what it is.
In this
much.
Nation, we've lost our work ethic. Get up in the morning. My father always said, you know, and I tell the kids this. He taught me this. I said it before on the radio, but wake up in the morning, you make your bed. He taught us how to make the bed in the military way. Make your bed, and you're not going back to that bed until the end of the day. And you get into the work of life. He used to get me up at 5 in the morning, make that bed, then he'd roll the Air Force Times, you know, and then send me on my bike to go deliver the papers, or in the summertime, wake me up early to get,
you know, get the lawnmower and go get out there and start mowing grass, you know, other people's lawns. Mm-hmm. And if the old man Fitz, I think his name was Fitz, you don't take anything from him. In other words, he's an old man. He and his wife, and these were big Florida lawns. You go and you get up early, and that guy kept me there almost all day, you know, because he watched everything I did, you know. He was a perfectionist,
right?
And he was so joyful, right, Father?
And he was not a joyful man. But my father said, "You go and you mow his grass, and trim the weeds and all that, and you don't take a penny from him, nothing from him, you know." So, I did that worth that, you know. At the time, yeah. It was a cause for. Sorrow, you know, but, you know, as I look back...
It's a valuable lesson, though.
Yeah, I thank God every day for that. But, you know, it wasn't not meant to be easy. If I did not see our Lord in all and entrusted to him, what an aching heart should I have. But not so. I look all the while to our purification and then to our eternity so long for love and enjoyment. Again, she's always talking about this view to eternity. That's what gave her the impetus, the grace to be in the trenches, in the work of life. She says, the black clouds I foresee may pass by harmless, or if in providence of grace they fall on me, providence has an immense umbrella to hinder or break the force of the storm. What comfort, what a comfort. Powerful. Just two more. You know the general principle that God is everywhere, on the throne of his glory among the blessed indeed, but also throughout the whole universe, which he fills, governs, and preserves, ruling it by wisdom and grace. This we learn in our infancy, as in all of our memory and childhood. Yet in the practice of life, we live along as if we scarcely remember that God sees us. Gosh, I was just writing about that as I'm preparing for the Sunday after this Sunday, that what would I, all that we would just be renewed in the discipline of Sunday Mass, the adoration of God, collectively speaking, we adore God, and that would set the tone for the whole week. And then to be ever conscious of God as we go through the course of the week. And see, in the time that she lived, so we're talking about the late 18th into the 19th century, people were naturally religious, whether she was an Episcopalian, and then when she became a Catholic, and even had to suffer the persecution of becoming a Catholic. And then finally, there's many quotes, but this is the last one that I'll read. Do I realize it? The protecting presence, the consoling grace of my Redeemer and God. He raises me from the dust to feel that I am near him. He drives away all sorrow to fill me with his consolations. He is my guide, my friend, and supporter. With such a guide, can I fear? With such a friend, shall I not be satisfied? With such a support, can I fall? Oh, then, my adored refuge, let not my frail nature shrink at your command. Rather, let me say, Lord, here am I, the creature of your will, rejoicing that you will lead, thankful that you will choose for me. Only continue to grant me your soul-cheering presence, and in life or in death, let me be your own. Very beautiful. Very beautiful, but no denial of the reality of the cross, the sufferings of this world. We weather the storms, we fight the good fight, we stay the course, and we give to God, holding nothing back, and the miraculous happens. We do what is humanly impossible. She did what would seem humanly impossible. And again, you think of the time in which she lived, you know. What it took to build a hospital, to build an orphanage, to build schools, to build a seminary, you know. Anyway, it's incredible.
And you think back then, they didn't have the comforts that we have now. We have all these comforts, and yet people are so depressed.
Yeah.
Depressed because...
because God is not the center.
Because we're lost. I was writing about that as well. You know, again, we're our eyes are fixated on our phones, mm-hmm. and we're lost in cyberspace.
Yes.
And we're not connecting. We're not in communion. So social media is supposed to connect us, and yet we're so disconnected.
Absolutely.
So lacking in mm-hmm. communion, and this is what's causing so much depression yeah. on the part of these young people.
And God is not in our in the lives of many people. That a lot of people don't believe in God.
I
don't know how they yeah. do it.
I spoke to a young girl, and she's doesn't want to live, you know. And I asked, I said, "Are you on TikTok?" And yes. very much. I said, "Get off TikTok, because it's ruining your life.
Mm-hmm.
It's ruining your life. You know, we've got to begin. You know, look at each other." You know, eye-to-eye contact, talk to each other. What's going on in your head? What's going on in your heart? You know, this social media, there's good there, yes, of course, but there's so much falsehood.
Yeah.
And anyway, yeah. we live in a strange world. We're going to take a break, come back, and then let's put you guys to the test.
Oh, no.
We got a little bit of time. We can maybe finish it. I don't know. We'll see.
Weren't gonna...
Well, we got to do this, you know, because we're still in the Christmas season.
Yes.
All right, everybody, do not go away. I'm Father Anthony on Winds of Change and AM 750 WNDZ.
St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, is open 24 hours a day, 7 days per week, for adoration of the Blessed Sacrament in the iconic monstrance. The Blessed Sacrament is reposed during the celebration of Mass and during special events. St. Stan's doors are always open for adoration. Come anytime, day or night. St. Stan's is located 2 blocks north of Division on Noble, right off the Kennedy. Visit ststanschurch.org.
We are the students of St. Stan's Academy.
Your children can join them for face-to-face classroom instruction. Visit ststanschicago.org to find out how.
And you're listening to the Winds of Change.
St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy. St. Stan's is an exceptional private elementary school in Chicago, serving preschool, age 3 and 4, pre-kindergarten, kindergarten, and first grades. We incorporate Catholic values and rigorous academic social-emotional learning, Chinese, Spanish, STEM, and more, providing our students with leadership and life skills to transform our world. St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy is conveniently located 1 block north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. To schedule your tour, visit ststanschicago.org. ststanschicago.org.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. So we are in the 12 days of Christmas. I don't know what day it is. I am so confused, you know. I am so totally confused, and it just seems like we had such a short Advent, although yes. we did have the 4 Sundays of Advent, and, you know, Christmas just seemed like yesterday, and here we are, you know, what day are we? We're probably on the 9th day? 9, 10, 11, 12?
On the 11th? Because it starts
10.
On
the 11th day of Christmas.
The day after Christmas, right?
It starts on the day after Christmas? The 12 days of Christmas?
The first day of Christmas. It probably starts on Christmas Day, but anyway, it ends
so
on...
So it's about 11... Oh, yeah, because then the Epiphany is...
The 12th.
The 12th.
The 12th or 13th. It's, I figured out, but those are the 12 days, yeah. So the song, the 12 days of Christmas, my true love gave to me
The Partridge.
Supposedly, this is a catechesis. Mm-hmm. It's in cryptic language that Catholics experienced during a time of persecution, when you were forbidden to. Again, you know, as I mentioned, Elizabeth Bailey Seton, Saint Elizabeth Bailey Seton, when she became a Catholic, and she had started this school for girls, took on a school for girls, and the non-Catholics pulled their girls out, you know. But eventually, she founded schools. Anyway, so during this time of persecution, supposedly a priest or a group of priests wrote this song as a kind of a cryptic catechism, the 12 days of Christmas. On the first day of Christmas, my true love gave to me, and again, we're going to just go through this. Who is your true love?
The partridge. And so it's referring Jesus. To Jesus. I see you know, Tony.
Oh, no.
You know.
Well, kind of not. On the first day of Christmas, my true love gave to me.
God gave me Jesus.
True love.
True love is God.
God. Okay, God. God. Yeah. Gave to me.
Jesus.
A partridge in a pear tree. Yeah. Christ, the Son of God.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Only begotten Son. And you could also see it as, I'm just adding something.
Go ahead.
Good.
That there's only one God.
Right.
I mean, not just.
Well, there's only one God. Yeah. Well, that's a no-brainer, Christian, and we know that.
And he's in the tree.
And the tree, the wooden
cross.
Tree.
The tree is the wood of the cross.
Jesus was,
crucified.
Crucified on the wooden tree.
Tree.
The partridge in a pear tree is Jesus the Christ, the Son of God, whose birthday we celebrate on December 25th, mm-hmm. the first day of Christmas.
Mm-hmm. The first day.
So in the song, Christ is symbolically presented as a mother partridge that feigns injury to decoy predators from her religious, her helpless nestlings. Recalling the expression of Jesus' sadness over the fate of Jerusalem. Jerusalem, mm. Jerusalem, how often would I have sheltered you under my wings as a hen does her chicks, but you would not have it so.
Yeah.
A partridge in a pear tree, the hen nailed to the wood of the cross. On the second day of Christmas, my true love gave to me
two turtle doves,
which represent
the Old and the New Testament.
Yeah, easy.
It's easy. Hey, I remember.
Which together bear witness to God's self-revelation in history and the creation of a people to tell the story of God to the world. On the third day of Christmas, my true love gave to me three French hens.
Three turtle doves.
I don't remember.
Three French hens. That's four.
Three French horns.
Is it?
Horns.
Horns.
You sure?
Three French horns. What do they represent? Three French hands.
It is three French hands.
I told you I'm tired.
I was right.
Where did I get the horns?
Hey, you're making me doubt, Father.
I'm thinking of the devil, you know?
I've been practicing.
This is demonic. This is spiritual warfare.
Three French hands.
Do you see how the devil's trying to disrupt our catechesis? Right. Three French hands, right. Which represent what?
Faith, hope, and charity.
Faith, hope, and charity are the three theological virtues, or
the Trinity.
Three persons of the Trinity. The Trinity, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Okay, very good. You guys are doing okay. On the fourth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me.
Is it four geese a laying?
No, that's.
It's seven geese a laying?
Four calling birds.
Four
calling birds.
Four gospel
the
writers.
Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John.
Okay, in that order. Which proclaim the good news of God's reconciliation of the world to himself in Jesus Christ. The four calling birds, the four gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. On the fifth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me
five gold rings.
Which represent what?
The first five books of the Old Testament,
is
the Pentateuch, the Torah, the law of God, which is
Genesis,
Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy.
Fantastic. That's great.
Yes.
I don't remember.
It gives a history of humanity's sinful failure and God's response to grace in the creation of a people to be a light to the world. So the five golden rings, the first five books of the Old Testament, the Torah in Hebrew or Pentateuch in Greek. That's okay. Very good. So on the sixth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me six geese a-laying. Which represent what?
The 6 days that it took God to create.
Nice. God is creator and the sustainer of the world. Can you give Tony a chance to answer this?
No. I think it's only fair because Christina wasn't here last year. So I'm making up for it.
Because we want to betray or expose Tony's Roy's ignorance. You know,
she makes me feel
his lack of knowledge.
Sitting next to Christina makes me feel so.
No, because I haven't been around and. Was it 2 years? No, more than 2 years.
But still.
So she's bragging now, see?
Yeah.
No, no.
Again, she's got this.
And I remember all of this.
This photogenic memory.
But did I say I was going to fail, Father? I said I was going to fail.
That was the, she was trying to say. No,
not photogenic. What is it? The photo?
Photographic.
Yeah. She bragged once many years ago about that. Oh, yeah. I was born with a photographic memory.
Well, that's what the doctor said. I'm just quoting the doctor.
Yeah, you believe that. Well, the doctor was right, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay. How did he know? How would a doctor know?
Because
that?
They did an exam. I fainted.
Yeah, they just told her that.
I fainted. My mom rushed me to the hospital. She was freaking out. And then the doctor said, don't worry, your child is way ahead. Like she has.
Way ahead of everybody else.
If you don't believe me, ask my mother. She will tell you the story.
Never knew they could tell you.
Nick, she's one of the X-Men.
I'm good. Listen, don't ever have your head examined, Tony. I'm never going to have my head examined.
We don't want to know. Don't want to know.
Okay. 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 Let's see, Smarty.
Smarty Alec. Pants. Sister Fabiola used to call me Smarty Pants.
Did you? I believe I can see why.
I was only six.
On the seventh day of Christmas, my true love gave to me.
Seven swans are swimming.
And they refer to what?
The seven gifts of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Or even the seven sacraments.
Exactly. That's very good. What are the seven sacraments?
Tony. Give it to Tony.
Oh, man.
I'm giving him a chance, Father.
No. Okay. Baptism.
Baptism.
Oh, I can't believe I don't remember this.
Reconciliation.
Reconciliation.
First Holy Communion.
Yeah.
Eucharist. Holy Eucharist.
Confirmation.
Holy orders.
Uh-huh.
Holy orders.
And marriage.
Marriage. You are married. You should know that one.
That one I do know.
And the anointing of the sick.
Anointing of the sick. Very good.
Wow.
And also it refers to the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit. And those are...
I knew you were going to ask this.
And those are Tony?
I don't know.
I'm giving him a chance.
I don't know. You get all the easy ones, but you give me the hard ones. Thank you, Christina.
You know them. Wisdom, understanding, temperance. Counsel,
fortitude.
Knowledge,
temperance,
piety,
no,
fear of the Lord.
Yeah.
Or if you're, you get Romans, this comes from Paul's letter to the Romans and to the Corinthians, or the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit, also prophecy, ministry, teaching, exhortation, giving, leading, compassion. Those I never would have gotten.
And I can't look at my phone?
I get confused with
The gifts and the fruits.
I always get confused.
It is confusing.
Yeah.
On the eighth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me
eight maids are milking
because she sings, So she
I know the song. Yeah. We had
I don't remember the song anymore.
Three minutes.
Oh, okay.
Oh, you got to be kidding.
Okay.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Oh, okay. Then this clock is wrong.
It's the Beatitudes.
What are the Beatitudes?
I'll give it.
Blessed are the poor in spirit.
The meek.
Blessed are those who mourn. 4 minutes.
Yep.
Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. The merciful. The pure in heart. Peacemakers. Those who are persecuted for the righteous, for the sake of righteousness. And that's how Jesus opens the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5. Eight maids of milking. Okay, let's see if we can get this done. On the ninth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me 9
ladies dancing,
and they would be, now you got the
not
fruits.
Not the fruits of the Holy Spirit.
Which would be what? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control.
Yeah, those are the ones.
And this is taken from Paul's letter to the Galatians.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And you knew those ones.
That I knew.
Oh, yeah.
So
I just wanted Christina to
No, say. I wanted Tony to give him a chance.
I knew you both, Tony. On the 10th day of Christmas, my true love gave to me...
10 drummers.
No.
10 lords are leaping.
Leaping.
10
lords are leaping.
Lords are leaping.
And that refers to what?
The Ten Commandments.
The Ten Commandments. And what are the Ten Commandments?
I am the Lord your God. You should have no strange gods before me.
You should have no other gods.
Do not take my name in vain.
Do not make an idol.
My idol. Don't.
Do not take God's name in vain.
Keep holy the Sabbath.
Keep holy the Sabbath.
Honor thy mother and thy father.
Honor your father and mother.
Thou shalt not kill.
Thou shalt not
commit.
Commit adultery.
Uh-huh.
Thou shalt not lie.
Steal.
Steal. Thou shalt not
lie.
Lie.
Bear false witness.
Uh-huh.
Neighbor.
Do not covet
thy
neighbor's goods.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Then the neighbor's wife.
That's from the book of Exodus. Wife, yeah. Exodus 21 to 17. Okay. On the 11th day of Christmas, my true love gave to me 11
pipers piping.
Okay. And that refers to what?
The faithful disciples. The 11 faithful disciples.
I knew Christina knew this.
Disciples. He had many disciples. But let's call them a little bit more
disciples,
specific.
The disciples.
More specific. He had many disciples. There were the 70 apostles.
The 11 faithful apostles.
And who are the apostles? Who's the first of the apostles?
Well, Judas is out.
Judas is out. That's why we say 11. Judas is carried out. Who's the first?
Peter.
His brother?
Philip. Andrew.
And then the other two brothers? J&J?
James.
And John.
James, J&J.
Oh, James and John.
James and John. And then... Philip,
Bartholomew,
Matthew,
Thomas,
James, Barphaeus, Simon the Zealot, Judas, Bar-James, from Luke's Gospel, okay? So finally, on the 12th day of Christmas, my true love gave to me...
12...
You should know this
drummers.
Right, because you're a drummer.
12 drummers drumming.
Which refer to what?
The creed, points the 12 of the points of the creed.
The Apostles' Creed. I believe, number one, I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. And number two, I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. Number three, he was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. Number four, he suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried, descended into hell. Number five, on the third day, he rose again, ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. Number six, he will come again to judge the living and the dead. Number seven, I believe in the Holy Spirit. Number eight, the Holy Catholic Church. Number nine, the communion of saints. Number 10, the forgiveness of sins. Number 11, the resurrection of the body. And number 12...
Life everlasting.
we peer into eternity and sing.
See, there was Elizabeth's that drum roll right there.
That's pretty good. Actually, I did this with the eighth graders, and they had a lot of fun with this, you know.
Man.
And they did pretty good, too.
Yeah.
With a lot of help from
they probably did the better than we do.
A lot of help with a lot of help from their pastor.
Yeah.
But that was the big thing in that with the teacher was, you know, again, how do we distinguish between the fruits and the gifts of the Holy Spirit?
I get confused, Father.
It is, yeah.
Because they're sort of...
The same but different.
Yeah, sort of
anyway,
connected.
Well, we're just at the end of the show. I'm waiting for the... Armin Tom showed me how to watch something here, but I'm seeing we got 17, 18. I don't know what... Well, listen, everybody, happy... We'll be back tomorrow.
We'll be back
God willing, unless, you know, the apocalypse comes.
Yeah, never
but, know. We hope not. We expect to be back here tomorrow. And we'll talk about the Feast of the Epiphany.
Yes.
The last day of Christmas, the Feast of the Three Kings. Everybody, Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Peace.
Amen.
Be with you. Ciao.
It's time to be stirred. The time is now.